All right, so you're ready to dive deep into probabilistic language models.
Ready when you are.
Perfect. Now, you mentioned needing to totally ace a final exam on this, right?
That's right.
Okay, cool. So we're going to go all in on every single key term and concept.
We've got you covered.
Think of this like your supercharged study session.
Exactly.
We've pulled a ton of excerpts from your CIS 5300 natural language processing course materials.
And make sure we hit everything you need.
Yeah. So no need to stress. We've got all the bases covered.
Hopefully you can walk into that exam feeling super confident.
All right. Let's kick things off with the most basic question.
Sounds good.
What exactly are probabilistic language models, or LMs for short?
Right.
I gotta admit, the name sounds kind of intimidating at first.
Yeah, it can seem that way at first, but they're actually pretty intuitive.
Okay.
Basically, LMs are mathematical tools
Okay.
that help us calculate the probability of a sentence or a sequence of words.
So they help us understand how likely it is that certain words appear together.
Exactly, in a specific order.
Okay, so it's all about predicting language patterns, right?
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Think about like when your phone predicts the next word as you type,
Oh, yeah.
or like those suggested replies you get in your email.
Oh, yeah.
That's probabilistic language models in action.
So cool.
And they're also the backbone of lots of other things like machine translation, speech recognition,
Oh.
even some really cool creative applications.
Wait, creative applications? What do you mean?
So, have you ever seen those AI-generated stories or like poems online?
Right here.
Some of them are actually using these language models
It's
to
a.
generate text that mimics human language patterns.
That is so wild.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Okay, so now I'm really starting to see how these models can be used in different ways.
Yeah.
But how do they actually work? Like, how do they calculate these probabilities?
That's where the chain rule of probability comes in. It's a
Okay.
way to break down the probability of an entire sentence into smaller, easier to calculate chunks.
Okay.
Essentially, we look at the probability of each word given the words that came before it.
So instead of figuring out the probability of a whole sentence all at once,
Right.
we look at the probability of each word, like step by step.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Let's say we have the sentence, "The cat sat on the mat."
Okay.
We would start by calculating the probability of the, then the probability of cat, given that the came before it,
Right.
then sat, given the cat came before it, and so on.
Okay, that makes
It's
sense.
like a chain reaction of probabilities.
Totally. But now imagine doing this for a really long sentence,
Right.
or even like a whole book.
Exactly.
It would get pretty hard to keep track of all those probabilities, wouldn't it?
It would get computationally expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where the Markosh assumption comes in.
Okay.
It's a simplifying assumption
Okay.
that says we only need to consider a limited number of preceding words to predict the next one.
So we're kind of like focusing on the most recent context.
Exactly.
Oh.
That leads us to n-gram models,
Right.
which are built on this very principle.
Gotcha.
They look at n number of preceding words to predict the next one.
Really?
So, for example, a bigagram model considers the previous word. A
Oh.
trigram model considers the two previous words, and so on.
I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Good.
So if we were using a bigger M model to predict the next word in the sentence, the cat sat on the,
Yeah.
it would only consider the word the to make the prediction.
You got it.
Wow.
And while that might seem limited, these n-gram models are surprisingly powerful,
Interesting.
especially for tasks like autocomplete or spell checking.
This is really cool. I'm already starting to see how all this stuff relates back to the real world.
Good.
But I have to ask, where did this whole idea of n-grams even come from? It sounds pretty modern.
You might be surprised to learn that the concept of n-grams actually goes way back,
Yeah.
like to the early 1900s.
Wow.
Andrei Markov, a Russian mathematician,
Right.
he started working with these ideas back then. He
Interesting.
was analyzing patterns in text, specifically sequences of letters in Pushkin's poem Eugene Onegin.
Wow, so this is really building on some like classic mathematical
It
concept.
is, yeah.
That's amazing. But I'm guessing n-grams aren't like a perfect solution for all language modeling problems.
You're right, no model is perfect,
Right.
and n-grams definitely have their limitations.
Like what?
One of the main challenges is capturing long-distance dependencies in language.
Okay.
For example, in a long sentence with multiple clauses,
Yeah.
a simple n-gram model might struggle to connect a pronoun back to its antecedent if they're far apart.
Huh. Interesting.
Because it's missing that broader context.
So there's kind of a trade-off between simplicity and accuracy.
Exactly. And as we explore more advanced language modeling techniques, we'll see how researchers are tackling these challenges and pushing the boundaries of what's possible. But for now, let's dive deeper into the practicalities of n-gram models.
Okay.
How do we actually estimate these probabilities from real-world data?
Yeah, let's get into the nitty-gritty. I'm ready to learn how to build these models.
All right, so to estimate those n-gram probabilities, it all starts with data. Lots and lots of data. We need a large collection of text, which we call a corpus, to train our model.
So we're essentially feeding the model tons of examples of how language is used.
Exactly. And the model learns the patterns and frequencies of different n-grams from this corpus.
Cool.
The most common way to do this is using maximum likelihood estimation, or MLE for short.
MLE, I remember seeing that in my notes.
Right.
Can you remind me what that is again?
Of course. So MLE is all about finding the parameters of our model that maximize the likelihood of observing the data we have in our corpus.
Oh, okay.
In simpler terms, we count how many times each n-gram appears in the corpus,
Okay.
and then we use that count to estimate its probability.
So it's all about counting and calculating frequencies.
Yeah, it is conceptually pretty simple.
Okay.
But there are some practical challenges to consider.
Like what?
Well, for example, we often deal with very small probabilities
Yeah.
when calculating n-gram frequencies, especially for higher order n-grams.
I can imagine that could cause some issues when working with computers.
Exactly. It can lead to something called underflow,
Underflow.
where the computer struggles to represent those tiny probabilities accurately.
Okay, so how do we get around that?
One common solution is to use logarithms.
Ah.
By converting these probabilities into logarithms, we can represent them as smaller, more manageable numbers that the computer can handle more easily.
Logarithms to the rescue. That makes sense.
Right.
But what about those cases where an n-gram just doesn't appear at all in our corpus?
Excellent question. That brings us to the problem of zeros.
Okay.
When we encounter a new n-gram in our test data that was never seen during training, our model will assign it a probability of zero.
And that's a problem because.
Because it can really throw off our calculations, especially when we're trying to evaluate how well our model performs.
Right.
A probability of zero basically means that the model thinks that n-gram is impossible, which can skew our results and make it difficult to compare different models.
So we need a way to handle these unseen n-grams.
We do.
What's the solution?
Smoothing techniques.
Okay.
These are methods we use to adjust the probabilities and make sure that no n-gram gets a probability of zero.
Okay.
One very simple technique is add-one smoothing,
Okay.
also known as Laplace smoothing.
Gotcha.
It's like adding a small safety net to our probability estimates.
Add one smoothing. That sounds pretty straightforward.
It is, but
Yeah.
it has its limitations.
Oh, of course.
It can overestimate the probabilities of unseen events, especially when we're dealing with large data sets.
So we need something more sophisticated for those cases.
Right. That's where techniques like back off and intercalation come in.
So
Okay.
back off is like a fallback mechanism. If we don't have enough data for a trigram, we back off to a bigagram. And if that's still not enough, we go down to a unigram.
So it's like starting with the most specific information available and
Exactly.
gradually falling back to more general information if needed.
Exactly. Interpolation, on the other hand,
Yeah.
combines probabilities from different n-gram models using weights, often called lambdas.
So it's kind of like blending the predictions from different
Oh,
models
yeah.
to get a more robust estimate.
Precisely. And we can use a held-out data set to find the optimal weights that
Wait.
give us the best performance.
This is all starting to click.
Good.
But I remember there were some actual tools that researchers use for building and working with n-gram models.
You're talking about language modeling toolkits, right?
Yeah.
Like Cirilum and KenLM.
Yes, those are the ones.
Yeah, these toolkits provide efficient algorithms and data structures for training and evaluating language models.
Which makes it much easier to work with large data sets and complex smoothing techniques.
That's awesome. I'm starting to feel a lot more prepared to tackle these concepts on my exam.
Glad to hear it.
But before we move on, there's one thing I'm still a bit fuzzy on.
Okay.
Perplexity.
Right.
It's supposed to be a way to measure how well a language model performs.
It
But I'm
is.
not quite sure I understand it. Okay, let's tackle perplexity.
Okay.
It sounds like one of those concepts that's crucial to understanding how well these language models work?
It really is, yeah.
Okay.
Think of perplexity as a measure of how surprised a language model is by new data.
Okay.
The lower the perplexity,
Yeah.
the better the model is at predicting the next word in a sequence.
So a lower perplexity score means the model is less perplexed.
Exactly. It means it's learned the patterns of the language well enough to kind of anticipate what's coming next.
Okay, I see.
You can also think about it in terms of the branching factor.
Branching factor.
Yeah, it's the average number of choices the model has at each step.
Gotcha.
So a lower perplexity score means a smaller branching factor,
Okay.
meaning the model is more confident in its predictions.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see the connection.
Good.
So if we have two language models,
Yeah.
one with a perplexity of 10
Okay.
and another with a perplexity of 50,
Okay.
the one with the perplexity of 10 is the better model.
Exactly. Because it means that model is better at predicting what comes next in a sequence of words.
This is making a lot more sense now.
Good.
But how does this perplexity thing actually get calculated?
Right. So we use a separate data set called a test set to evaluate the model's perplexity.
Okay.
This data set is different from the corpus the model was trained on.
Okay.
And basically, we present the model with sequences of words from the test set and see how well it predicts the next word.
So it's like a final exam for the language
Right,
model.
exactly.
We're seeing how well it generalizes to new data it hasn't seen before.
That's a great way to think about it. And just like with students, we want our language models to be able to generalize their knowledge to new situations.
Right, of
That's
course.
what makes them truly useful.
This has been incredibly helpful.
Good. I'm glad
I
to
feel
hear
like
it.
I have a much stronger grasp on the concepts now.
I'm glad to hear that.
But before we wrap up,
Yeah.
I'm curious about those advanced language modeling techniques you mentioned earlier.
Right.
Are there like approaches beyond n-grams
Absolutely.
that address some of those limitations we talked about?
Yeah, n-grams are really just the starting point.
Okay.
Researchers are always coming up with new and more sophisticated models
Okay.
that can capture the nuances of human language more effectively.
Can you give us some examples of these advanced techniques?
Of course. So one exciting area is neural language models.
Neural language models.
Yeah, these models use artificial neural networks to learn complex relationships between words and phrases. They can handle long distance dependencies much better than traditional n-gram models.
Neural networks, that sounds really advanced.
They are, but
Yeah.
they're also becoming increasingly common in natural language processing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Another area of active research is in incorporating linguistic structure into language models.
Okay.
So, parsing-based models, for example,
Yeah.
use grammatical analysis to understand the relationships between words in a sentence,
Okay.
which can lead to more accurate predictions.
So we're like moving beyond just looking at the surface level of the text and
Exactly.
starting to delve into those like deeper grammatical
Yes,
structures.
exactly. And there are even models that incorporate like contextual information from the surrounding text
Rowl.
or even real-world knowledge to improve their predictions.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time to be studying language models.
This has been a deep dive in the truest sense of the word. I feel like I've gone from feeling like totally intimidated by these concepts
Right.
to actually understanding them.
I'm glad to hear that.
I know.
Remember, the key to mastering anything is to, break it down into manageable chunks, ask questions, and practice applying the concepts.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to like get excited about the amazing things that are being done with language models.
Exactly.
From powering voice assistants to helping us understand the complexities of human communication, this field is truly at the forefront of innovation.
It really is. Who knows, maybe you'll be the one developing the next groundbreaking language model.
I mean, I'm definitely feeling inspired after this deep dive.
Good, I'm glad.
Thanks so much for joining us on this journey into the world of probabilistic language models.
Of course, happy to be here.
We'll catch you next time for another fascinating exploration of knowledge.